going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
That's always the best part of the show, Jackson, to hear what the listeners have to say. There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspectives. Absolutely,
so stay tuned. Each year, millions of Africans move from the villages to live in the city. Even though there are many other reasons for such migrations, rural-urban migration has long been associated with economic development and growth. People say that they travel from villages to live in the city to seek for jobs and enjoy other benefits related to living in the city. Now, what are some of the effects of this mass exodus from the countryside? One, they say given that our societies are mainly agrarian, fewer hands that are left in the villages to grow the nation's food. The other aspect to this type of migration is that analysts view Africa's urban unemployment and growing crime rates as a result of the overflowing urban populations. Many agree that such a situation is not sustainable. But is African urbanization only influenced by the economy? Are there other reasons for the mass flow to the cities? And what are the long-term effects of this type of rural-urban migration? Let's talk Upfront on the Voice of America.
My name is Mwai Ntumodzi. I live in Blanta, Malawi. Basically, people go into town to look for opportunities in terms of work, business, so on and so forth. So many people are moving from the rural villages into the urban centers just to try their luck in life. Urbanization has affected a lot of things because those people who plan the towns did plan at a specific number of people. And then the issues of housing are currently a problem. For instance, in a commercial city of Blanta, not many people are living in good houses just because not many good houses are there. And so the very few houses that are there are going at higher rates.
I'm Pastor Zidana, Blanta, Malawi. I'll say that the impact that it has on the urban areas in town is that towns are becoming overpopulated by day. You'll find that in most of the towns, for example, in Blanta, the population Blanta now should be more than 3 million.
In fact, at all costs, it should not be encouraged, because once we encourage the urban migration, it means we are also limiting the survival of those who are living in towns, because there will be a scramble for water, electricity, and even space. And as a result, environment will be also affected, because people will have nowhere to live and also nothing to eat.
This is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C. and Nadia Sami in Cape Town with Upfront on the Voice of America.
Them need overall, the way them deal with mankind. Hey yo, and that's in a go cry for no guy in a no three-piece suit. Nor no pretty boy in a no Chris Nike boot. She no fall for no dapper, she no cry for no dupe. She shed those lonely tears for the little ghetto youth. They're balling starry, ex-news and cleaner. Food might be dirty, but his heart is much cleaner than those politicians fighting dumb sense mania. And get up every day, them want to run this arena. Need and there is no doubt about it. If baby won't feed and can't do without it, big 45 going to scout it. Oh no, the youths them balling out. I hear they get the youths them balling out. Hey, youths them calling out. I hear they get the youths them balling out.
Upfront show, Upfront show, presented by Jack and Nadia from out of Cape Town. Yeah, yeah, whoa, oh, oh, oh. Well, it's Blessed Barack tuning into the Upfront Show. Well informative for the youths, you know. Rastafari.
Of course, it affects the society. If all people come and join the town, then the town is more congested than the village.
The only solution to the problem that have resulted from urbanization would be to make sure that we extend the facilities that the Malawi government has in terms of like water, utility service providers. They need to extend their services to make sure that at least as more people come into urban areas, there is need at least for these people to find a solution to their problems.
But because they have better living than those in the villages. One of the reasons is like if you're living in a city, if you get sick, you're easily taken to a good hospital so that they take care of you.
The number of people living per square area is very high. I do not necessarily believe that in urban areas that's when we find better life, because even people in the villages are doing fine. For instance, I'll give an example. A lot of farmers who grow tobacco, they live in villages. And if you go in areas like Asongo, in areas like Nchia, where people they are serious with farming, they are doing better.
Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America, and thank you for joining us today. We're talking about rural-urban migration and its effects on African societies. Now, we know that on the economic front, people are attracted to the cities because they're known to be places where money, services, wealth and better employment opportunities are centralized. Businesses which generate jobs are usually located in the big urban hubs.
Nadia, it's easy to see why someone living on a farm in the village might wish to take their chance moving to the city and trying to make enough money to send back home to their struggling families. But does moving to the city necessarily mean a good life? And are our cities ready or equipped for this amount of population growth? Angelo Izama is a human security analyst, reporter currently at Stanford University as a fellow. He's been following and studying the Ugandan situation, specifically Kampala, the capital city.
Our long-term national security challenge is rapid and unchecked urbanization.
In Uganda?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is something that we talked about openly.
Rapid, unchecked urbanization.
Yeah. So there's a huge mass of migrants into Ugandan cities that will outstrip the ability of the Ugandan government to provide a if you'd like, a normal livelihood. So basically guarantee that they live in an environment that is decent, that you know, they live, they have houses, jobs.
To give a little bit of perspective to our listeners who probably don't understand the situation in Uganda, I personally grew up in Kampala, and I left in the mid-90s. I remember going back in the mid-2000s, almost after a decade, and the city was crowded. Cars everywhere. Mm. It seemed like an urban planning fiasco had taken place in. So why is there this constant flow of people from the villages to the cities? What are they seeking for in the cities that they don't have in the villages? And how is the government reacting to that?
Well, the economy is growing. Ugandans no longer see themselves as trapped in the village. Remember, we have one of the largest youth bulges in the 21st century. Over 50% of the population is under the age of 25. And if you look at it, this government is not outfitted technically to meet these challenges. Uganda's population is growing at a rate unseen around the world. There are similar statistics for other countries, but you have got a high fertility rate for over 15 years of about 6 children per woman. And you said, why are people living in the villages? But you see, the villages are not places of hope and renewal. In northern Uganda was a 25-year war. Half the population
fighting Konyi.
Yeah, the Lord's Resistance Army. Yeah. Half the population was displaced. When the war ended, many of them did not know what it was like to live in the village.
Because
the
new
generation was born in the camps.
They were in these camps, the internally displaced camps. Okay.
So Gulu, for instance, which was another center of these riots, has almost 3-4 times the population it had, you know, before the camps were closed.
And some people say for the longest time it was like a ghost town.
Yes,
you know?
It's now a rising metropolis. It sits at the border with Sudan. It is the center of trade. The only night commuters, they are business people now, including the large problem of any growing city, which is, you know, low-rate crime, prostitution, you know, drugs and that kind of thing. So that reality there, you can see it in very many regions. In Karamoja, you've seen all those Karamojong, cattle rustlers. Their own society has been under siege by a different military expedition there to disarm cattle rustlers. But it has pushed a net number of people from Karamoja and surrounding regions into nearby towns, but most people just come to Kampala. In the 90s, population of Kampala was, you know, about 800,000.
Yes, I remember that, yes. Yeah.
It's now 4 million during the day. Basic infrastructure, including for sewage, I spoke to the people who are in charge and they said only 8% of the 3.5 million residents in the surrounding areas are connected to a sewer line. Over the years, we've had to relocate our pumping stations from Tank Hill to way inside the lake, Lake Victoria, where we get our water. Exactly because pollution via the Nachivubo Channel, the main channel that drains the city, which acts really as a if you'd like, a flush toilet for these residents, has polluted the water. Now you worry about effluents from all the pollution that is coming from the city, and this is a growing problem. So Kampala is an urban planning challenge, and it's also an urban plan in urban nightmare for the government, because our long-term view, my view, since these riots began from the Mabera time, is that we are seeing an emerging urban underclass, and because the government is playing an old game.
So those who moved from the villages coming to the cities to seek for the better life are disillusioned.
Not only that, they're trapped in slums. So if you look at the geography of the city, it is surrounded by about three or four large slums, really. They used to be fairly navigable settlements. If you work in the city as a mechanic or as a fruit seller or whatever, you have to buy food. And when you're living hand to mouth and you don't have savings, you look for something that can generate quick money. And the crime.
That's crime.
Exactly. All the young men then go just to the upper east side, if you'd like. And we have seen attacks on individuals, vicious attacks. They take cell phones, laptops. They rob you for your money. The last, I haven't looked at the present crime report, but if you aggregate the types of crimes that are being committed, almost 6% of 60% of all crime is committed in an urban setting, a peri-urban setting.
That was Angelo Izama, human security analyst from Uganda.
Excuse me, ma'am. When I get back out here, make sure the is up front. Yeah. Say, baby, what's your name?
Now, Nadia, let me bring you here into the discussion. You know, when we talk about rural urban migration, it's not that a group of people move from the villages into the city and cut off all life or all connections to their people that they left behind. We shouldn't overlook the fact that the rural urban immigrants or migrants continue to maintain strong ties with their families in the rural areas.
Absolutely, Jackson. And an interesting survey, which was released by Statistics South Africa in 2006, revealed a pattern of movement from villages to small towns, which might not be what we thought it was all the time. The study from Stats SA seems to show that migration to the smaller towns appears to be more permanent, whereas in many cases, the other form of migration we see is more temporary, where people move both from rural to urban and urban back to rural. So it's a circular cycle that sociologists and social scientists are noting now. And another reason for that is, like you mentioned, the strong ties that stay and the strong bonds that stay in place when either the younger ones in the family move out to the bigger cities to earn more money or to study or whatever the case may be. It's commonly found that they actually do return a few years later, a little bit later in life, and settle back in the communities that they'd actually moved out from.
Do it.
exactly what our young people do when they move to the city, right, Jackson? They hustle really hard to make it happen and to have a good life, to have a good go at it. Hopefully many can hustle and go to school because that would improve chances at a good life. This is the Voice of America with Jackson Vungani, who's in Washington, D.C., and I'm Nadia Sami, coming at you from Cape Town, South Africa. Let's hear some more of your opinions now.
So what should be done in order maybe to prevent people from villages trekking into towns, making sure that those who are in the villages have similar access to the facilities which they think can be found in towns alone?
I'm back in the Simfuka. People move from village to the cities because of the environment. Rural areas lack facilities which most of the people want to use, like rural areas, they had no electricity, there is no water, there is no health services, there are no schools, transport is a problem. So these facilities are mainly found in urban areas. Mostly the youth now are looking at entertainment. These facilities are not available. There are no employment in rural areas. So people go to urban centers to look for employment, others to look for education facilities and medical facilities. The only way what can counteract rural urban migration is the government to develop rural areas.
One of the major reasons is, like in cities, you find those good schools. So that one can force people to move from villages to city. Another reason is, like, in town, there are more chances of getting good jobs. There are more chances of getting connection through those people who have good educations. You can maybe befriend them and then you get a better place.
What's up, Africa? You are listening to Upfront on the Voice of America.
Let's see who's our flavor of the month. I'm sure DJ Jackson has some hot tunes.
DJ Jackson.
In his box. Let's see what he has in his magic lucky packet up. Keep your station locked right here to the Voice of America.
In the villages, you may realize that there are no services, and people may wish to move from the village to come to towns where they can get access to services, for example, like health services, educational services, recreational services, which are not in the villages. The absence of services may force people to leave their villages and come to town. It affects the society because it may lead to congestion. It may lead to a high rate in crimes like theft, because most of these people who run from the villages, they come to town thinking that they are going to get jobs. But unfortunately, when they get to towns, they end up failing to get jobs, which may cause them to look for all possible ways of survival.
It's just because of the long perspective that people have got over urban places.
Not only that, we need to engage into rural growth centers, which already the government is implementing. These rural growth centers means the rural areas will be developed, and then people will be able to get jobs in their rural areas. If we push the internet into the rural areas, not many people who moved into town, they'll be able to have access to things like internet, things like electricity. We have to make sure that as the towns are developing, the rural areas have also to develop, so that not many people should move out of the rural areas into the urban centers.
There are so many effects of rural-urban migration, but in the face of the general poverty of the African states that so many of our brothers and sisters find themselves in across the continent, most large and expanding cities simply cannot cope with the management problems associated with the garbage collection, disposal of human waste, the provision of clean water, regulation of traffic, and just the orderly development of roads, lighting, and other services when the population continues to grow month by month, year by year.
Also, experts say that rural-urban migration kind of steals or robs the rural areas of their young and versatile population, the young people who would till the gardens and farm and all that. Masai David in Nairobi, Kenya, recently moved from the village back to the city.
In terms of infrastructure in the village, you are a bit exposed to less developed infrastructure. In terms of transport, telecommunications, I draw that compared to the village where it's a bit more developed. Contrary, you'll always find that in the villages, you're always exposed to much more greener aspects of life compared to the town where there's always smoke pollution here and there, traffic, noise.
If you didn't have to move because of your job, where would you prefer to live, in the city or the village?
It always depends on what stage of life you are in.
I know when I talked to you right after university a couple of years ago, you told me you would rather prefer to work in the rural area. When did that change?
I think, you see, at the end of the day, you always, as a balanced person, you always want to have a blend of the two worlds. And considering that for me, actually, since I finished all the, primary school, I left the villages. So actually, I had a very big disconnect with the people in rural area. And I think for someone who's interested in the area of development studies, people are interested in leadership, it's always good, again, to have to touch base, actually, to be able to connect.
Now, Kenya is one of the countries that has a very big population that is moving to the cities or to the towns. People do have different expectations, I guess, for their moving from the villages, and they also have different reasons why they move. But what are some of the misconceptions about living in the city that when you talk to people who moved from their villages when they moved to the city, what are some of the biggest misconceptions they find or they have?
I think basically just all about searching for the opportunity. People always have an assumption that by the time they move to the city, their life will always be better. But again, you find to the contrary, because the villages are possibly living better lives, but most of the time you find them coming to the city where they headed towards the slums, so which actually their living standards are much normally worse off compared to the guys living in the rural areas. But guys always have an assumption that should I move myself to the city, my proximity opportunities are relatively higher, because I'd be able to maybe be able to access better education, be able to access better job opportunities. But again, coming to the city, if you're not fully prepared, in terms you do not have fully qualification to be able to acquire a stable and relatively well-paying jobs, or possibly be able to start a very active, very robust business that can be able to help you to shape, to position yourself less economically well, can be a big challenge. But the greatest misconception, guys, when they're moving from the rural villages to the urban areas, is always opportunity. They always think the other side is always greener. But at the time they move to town, they always discover that's not normally the case.
Now, when you were in the village, when you were in the rural areas where you worked a couple of years before, right after school, you did work in microfinance for a couple of years, helping women in the area of microfinance. Did you also have to kind of dispel some of these misconceptions? Did you have such type of discussions with some of these women who were tempted to travel and move to the city in search of greener pastures?
Yes, and actually that has given me even a great deal at a personal level. I was able to assess myself and really to come to realize that even in the villages, provided that you have a right skill set, you are ready to position yourself actually, so you still can be able to make a decent living. Because essentially you may want to move to town, but if you do not have a very strong strategic fit, you'll always find your life is worse off compared to the guys who live in the villages. But still, that's why, for the time that I was in the villages, I very used to have very robust discussion with some of the women groups, the youth groups. And at the end of the day, at least I was able to convince the chance to be able to settle on their business, and they're doing relatively well. But again, that's the little experience that the experiences that I actually acquired working with these people again is the same experiences that now I've taken a notch higher in terms of mobilization, in terms of trying to actually improve the people's way of life. Because initially I was in the microfinance, and again, I've just been called up even in urban area to be able to come and even set up another microfinance again. So all that we are doing is just try to build up a further skill set with the skills that I've already acquired in the rural areas. So what I'll advise, especially the young people who are moving there, from rural areas to urban areas, yes, in other areas, the opportunities are largely high because of development. They are much more developed. But again, you need to assess yourself so that by the time you move it, you already have something substantive that actually warrants you to move. But if you do not have something that actually motivates you to or warrants you to move, it's better you stay in rural areas, because it doesn't make sense for one to move from rural areas where life is comparably cheaper, where life actually, the environment you're living is cleaner, and yet you're moving in urban areas and all that, you find yourself you're moving to slums.
Masai David in Nairobi, Kenya. Now, Nadia, while some rural urban migrants find employment and attain better standards of living than they had in their rural homelands, a large proportion of them remain unemployed or underemployed, mainly due to their lack of appropriate skills or just the absence of jobs.
This is very true, Jackson. Just recently, I was in central Cape Town and I was collecting Vox Pop interviews then. I spoke to a Zimbabwean man who said he was actually a teacher in Zimbabwe. He'd come here in order to find a better paying job than the one he had at home. But sadly, this man works as a car guard. He gets paid a few cents to look after people's cars in the parking lot. This is a man with an education, a qualified man, wonderful personality, but has been reduced to doing something, to doing some menial task that really is so much better equipped in life to do more than what he finds himself doing now. And that is the general situation. We find so many people moving into different countries in Africa, and instead of finding that employment that they'd been seeking, sadly, so many find themselves being absorbed into the sprawling townships and squatter areas. And life is no better than it was at home. In some cases, it's so much worse. All sorts of unfortunate realities. And so on that note of love and good luck, we leave you. Thank you for joining us. It's been wonderful, as always, having you with us here on Upfront. I'm Nadia Sami in Cape Town.
And I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington.
Until next time, goodbye.